Today's daf is daf Yud Ches. So we got to the very top of Yud Ches right after the mission, the beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara begins four lines down from the top. The Gemara had been discussing a machlokus between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai about things that you would process of a melacha you'd begin before Shabbos and you'd let it carry through on Shabbos. So according to Beis Shammai, the mission had said, Beis Shammai said it's aser. If you want to do something before Shabbos, the action must be complete before the onset of Shabbos. Beis Hillel says, as long as you start it before Shabbos, you allow it to continue to do the work, the action, even on Shabbos. So the Gemara now says, we are four lines down, Man Tana, Nesinas Maim Lidyo Zuhu Shriyasim. So who is the opinion that says, by simply putting ink in the water, or the water in the ink, that itself is a violation of lush. Lush is one of the lametes melachos. Simply putting things together without having to mix it, that alone is considered lush. Who holds that way? And so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Rebbe. This is the opinion of Rebbe. The Sani, the Braisa, tells us that Echa nosinis hakemach vecha nosinis hamayim ha'achron chayiv divrei Rebbe. One person puts flour in a bowl, the other person puts water in the bowl. By simply putting water in, that itself is a violation of lush. According to Rabbi Yossi, says the Gemara, Omer einu chayv ad sheyagaba. One's not chayv until one actually mixes it together. So while according to Rabbi, simply putting the components together is aser, Rabbi Yossi requires it to mix it. So our mishnah is like Rabbi, that simply putting water and ink together, that itself is a violation of lush. Now this is an interesting machlokas that the Egle Tal says, the two Tanaim here arguing about whether the nature of lush is about the maisa, the action of putting two components together, or is it about a totsa of mixing them, of creating one entity. Those are the two different approaches. Now the truth is, the Ber Lacha says, even according to Rebbe Olds, putting them together is chayiv chatas, it's chayiv on Shabbos, he would agree if you were to mix it, that would also be chayiv. So he'd agree both stages are really usher. According to Rabbi Yossi, who says mixing it is the chiyuv, he'll agree that putting them together itself is an iser midrabanan. So this is a very, very important halacha, because when it comes to mixing things on Shabbos, lush on Shabbos, in order to allow for it, if you want to do it properly, you have to do a shinui. So you have to do a shinui in both of these stages. So it means if you have to, let's say, making baby cereal, so when you put them together for baby cereal, the water and the baby cereal itself, the flakes, you have to change the way it's put in, the shinui, and the way they put together, namely you do it out of order. So you need a shinui in how you put them together, and then you also need a shinui in how you mix it together, the second stage, which could be accomplished either by using the back of a utensil or doing a crisscross pattern. Those are the two steps which have to you have to employ a shinui in order to allow for it. Now another point in terms of lush, this din of mixing, putting them together, that's aser, it's only true when by putting them in together, there's some mixing that takes place on its own. In other words, if you have water and flour, by putting them together, the nature of the items is they begin mixing on themselves, they combine on its own, that's when it's aser. But let's say you have something that if you put them together, it won't mix until you actually mix it together. Let's say mayonnaise and eggs. So if you put eggs and mayonnaise, there's no mixing that's going to take place. They'll just both be there. But they're not going to start melding together. So then there's actually no issur putting them together, only when you mix it together. And when you start, you know, using a spoon, would there be an issur? Anyway, so this is an important machlokas. So back to our Gemara. So our Gemara says, our Mishnah holds that simply putting ink and water together is a violation of lush. That's according to Rebbe. By putting water and flour together, the issur already kicks in. But the Gemara's response is, Amar le'Abaye, Abaye says, V'dilma ad kan lo kamar Rebbe Yossi ela b'kemach debar gibulhu. Maybe our Mishnah is only referring to, only Rebbe Yossi says is din, when you have an item such as flour that's subject to mixing, that's mixable, if you will. About dio de'lav bar gibulhu, ema l'chayev. But maybe when it comes to something that that you can't mix, it doesn't work when it's mixed together, maybe there even Rabbi Yossi would agree it's usher by simply a malachai. Maybe you should it should be usher if you just put them together. So the Gemara says, Lo sakadaitach, no one would ever have such a habamina. The Tani, the Braisa, teaches us that Echa nosin es ha'efer, Vecha nosin es ha'mayim, ha'achron chayiv divrei Rebbe. So the Braisa says if a person puts in efer, which is ashes, and you put it in water, so you're chayiv by simply putting them together according to Rebbe. Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, Omer, Ad Sheyagaba, you need to mix it together. So when it comes to Afer is something that's not bar gibel, who says Rashi. It's not something that gets mixed together. You don't mix ashes. Ashes don't get mixed. And even though it's la bar gibel, who Rabbi Yossi says you're chayv only once you've mixed it together. So here as well, that something that's not mixable, that's la bar gibel, who, so then the din would be that still you need to mix it in order to be chayv. So the Gemara says, V'dilma mai Afer offer. The bar gibel, who. Maybe when the Braisa says Afer, it was a mistake. Really, maybe it should have been the word offer with an I, dirt. And dirt is bar gibel. And maybe that's why Rabbi Yossi says you have to mix it. But he would agree if it came to Afer, or if it came to something like Dio, which are not mixable, maybe he would agree that you wouldn't have to mix it. You'd be chayv simply by putting them together. So the Gemara says, V'hatanya Afer, V'hatanya Afer. But don't we have two different Braises? One that says Afer, one that says Afer. So we see the machlokis is true, whether it's something that's subject to mixing or not subject to mixing. And so the Gemara says, Mid de gavi hadade tani, they're taught next to each other in the Braise. So what that means is, if you look at Rashi halfway down the narrow lines, Rashi says, Mid de gavi hadade tini nu, chad de tana, Rebbe Chia, v'chad de tana, Rebbe Shaya. The two Braises were authored by different people. V'chad de menayu, chad tani l'offer, b'lashon Afer. So one of them was taught with lashon Afer, one was lashon Afer. In the end of the day, it's not so clear that Rabbi Yossi says is din by that which is only bar gibelhu. But the Gemara seems to say at the end here, since the two different brayses here, and maybe really both really mean Afer, even though Afer was used. So either way, there is a raya from these brayses about whether or not Rabbi Yossi's din applies to that which is la bar gibelhu. The Gemara now says as follows: Tanur Rabbanan poskin mayim legina. Erev Shabbos im chashecha, a person's allowed to leave the water running, to leave the sprinkler on from before Shabbos, umismales v'holechas koyam kulo, and let it continue to go on Shabbos itself. You're allowed to do this. Umanichin mugbar tachas akelim, umizgamrin v'holchin koyam kulo. You can place some type of mugbar, some type of incense below the begalim to add some aroma to it. That's allowed. As long as you begin before Shabbos, it continue to go on Shabbos. Umanichin gafris tachas akelim. You could put some type of gafris, some type of, I don't know, sulfur of some sort below the kelim. Umisgafrin v'holchin kol Shabbos kulo, and you could leave it going on Shabbos. It somehow helps the silver. Rashi explained. And then manichim kilor agabe ayin. You could place a kilor below the ayin, some type of bandage on top of the eye. This plonis agabe mak, or a bandage on top of a wound. Umisrapefes holachas koyam kulo. And you could let it continue to heal all of Shabbos. Now, even though on Shabbos itself you can't do refuah, if the refuah was placed on from before Shabbos, you could continue to get it, have a go all Shabbos. So these are just a number of examples whereby the action, the process was started before Shabbos, you're allowed to have it continue on Shabbos. But what you can't do is place wheat in a mill that's going to run with the water, the movement of the water caused the mill to move. That you can't get the process started on Shabbos. Rather, you can't have it started from before Shabbos and continue on Shabbos. El b'chdei, only if the mill has completed its grinding all before Shabbos. My time. Why is that different? Every other example we gave, we allowed you to do the process before Shabbos and continue to go on Shabbos. What's different about a mill? So Amar Rabba, Mipnei Shem Hashmas Kol. Hashmas Kol is, it produces noise. What's wrong with producing noise? Rashi says, for two reasons. Av Shemilsa b'Shabbos v'ika Zilusa. It's Av Shemilsa, it makes a whole big to-do, and it's a Zilzil. Sounds like pretty much the same thing, but it's a Zilzil Shabbos to have things going on. That's why we say things that make noise. You can't have running on Shabbos. When it comes to timers, when the Ramosha was very against timers, he fell to a Zilzil Shabbos. And certainly things that are making noise, like dishwashers which make noise. Nowadays, dishwashers don't make noise, so people think maybe you could use it still, have it run on a timer, because it's no longer Av Shemilsa. So we don't really apply timers to dishwashers. But in the end of the day, there's a sugya of Hashmas Kol. You can't generate sound on Shabbos. That's why alarms is a big topic. Are you allowed to use alarms on Shabbos? The Ramah says you are allowed to use alarms on Shabbos. That's permitted. And the reason is because everyone understands that when it comes to an alarm, it was set before Shabbos. No one thinks you set the alarm on Shabbos itself. Now, there's a discussion how loud the alarm should be. Maybe it shouldn't be loud enough whereby they could hear in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid it can be permitted. In the end of the day, people do permit the use of alarms. That's not a problem of Hashmas Kol, because since it's a mitzvah to wake you up in time for learning, for your davening, therefore they said it's permitted, even though it might be Av Shemilsa. So Gemara says, back inside, Amar Le Rav Yosef, V'lei Mamar, B'Shem Shvisas Kelim. So why are we going on to this concept of Hashmas Kol of Av Shemilsa, of making noise on Shabbos? Maybe it's a problem of Shvisas Kelim. Shouldn't we allow our Kelim, our utensils, our vessels, to get rest as well? The Tani, the Baisa says in a quote to Pasuk, the Pasuk says, U'b'chol asher amarti aleichem tishmeru, all that which I told you, you should let, you should preserve, you should be shomer. Meaning what? L'rabos shvisas kelim. The Baisa says that you have to allow your kelim to rest as well. That should be the reason it's a Pasuk. So the Gemara says, Elam Rav Yosef Mishum Shvisas Kelim. You're right. The reason why you can't have Yerei Chaim moving from before Shabbos through Shabbos is because you have to let your Kelim rest. The Hashad Amris, now that we've established the Beis Hillel, Islehu Shvisas Kelim, Daraisa, that on a Torah level, you have to let your Kelim rest, Gofris Umugmar Mai Taimu Sharu. So then why does he allow the process of the smelling and then the sulfur to continue to burn on Shabbos? Isn't that a problem of Shvisas Kelim? So it says the Gemara, Mishum de lo kavod ma'isa. No, no action was done. When there's no action being done, then even Shvisas Kelim would be permitted. That's the understanding. So the Gemara says, if you just look at Rashi, Rashi says two wide lines down, lo kavod ha'kli shumaisa. The kli isn't doing any ma'isa. Elamuna chalharetz vehein masoch. You just place the kli, and then the kli is just holding something, but the kli isn't doing any action. Aval rechaim of the ma'isa, but the rechaim is moving. Here, I have a little pail. And then the pail is my kli, it's just sitting, it's just resting. Inside the pail, there's some burning of mugmar, some burning of gafras. That's not the kli. The kli is just holding it. And since my kli isn't doing any action, it would be permitted. So the Gemara says, Unin shalpishtan mai tai masharu. So when it comes to the flax, letting the flax soak in the water, why was that allowed in the Mishnah on yesterday's daf? Mishum de lo kavod ma'isa. So it's not doing any action. Uminach naichem mitudas chayv oft v'dagum de kavod ma'isa. But we're about setting up traps. And when the animal goes in the trap is going to move, there's going to be an action. Why is that allowed according to Beis Hillel? Mai tai masharu. Hasam nami bilechi v'kukri dilo kavod ma'isa. There are certain types of traps that don't have any action. It's if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains a lechi is a chika shekorin ema, which is shadog bola umhadako v'kli eno zazmim komo. Some type of, I don't know if it's a net, I don't know if it's a hook, but something that the fish eats and the fish gets attached to it. Your kli is just staying there, it's stationary. But the fish goes into it and gets stuck in the net, it gets stuck in on the hook. And the kukri, Rashi explains, is she'osen salim piyam echad rochev v'piyam hasheni katzer mi'od. You have one end of the basket wide and one small. So when the fish or whatever goes through, it gets stuck, its head gets stuck in that basket. So there as well, your kli is remaining stationary and no action's being done. So although Beis Hillel agrees, Shvisas Kelim is usur, but when your keli isn't doing any action, then you're allowed to utilize the kelim on Shabbos as long as you set it in motion from before Shabbos. So that's the understanding of Rav Yosef, that Shvisas Kelim is usur according to even Beis Hillel. The Gemara now says, last seven lines of the Amud here, V'hashta, Damar Voshaya, Amar V'asi, Man Tana Shvisas Kelim Deraisa Beishamahi, V'lo Beis Hillel. But we have a tradition that Rav Voshaya felt that, no, only Beis Shammai felt that Shvisas Kelim was Aser. Beis Hillel didn't hold of Shvisas Kelim. So now that we've established that, according to this understanding, the Beis Shammai, who holds Shvisas Kelim is Aser, Bein Kavod Ma'isa, Bein Delo Kavod Ma'isa Aser. He holds across the board, utilizing Kalim, whether the Kali is doing an action or even not doing an action, you can't utilize Kalim. So whether it's Rechaim, where there's a Maisa, or even baskets of catching fish, which are not Maisim, even across the board, Beis Shammai says Aser. And LeBeis Hillel, who holds Shvisas Kalim as Mutter, Af Agav the Kavod Ma'isa Shar. He holds that even if your Kali is doing an action, Beis Hillel says it's permitted across the board. He doesn't hold the concept of the Shvisas Kalim. So now that we've established this, the Hashid the Amris, to the Beis Shammai, Af Agav de lo kavod ma'isa, Aser. So if Beis Shammai holds that it's Aser to utilize your Kelim, even when no action is being done, Ihachi, that's the case. Mugmar, says the Gemara, on the days now, Mugmar the Garfris, my time, Sharu Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai agreed that letting the Mugmar, letting the Garfris burn from Erev Shabbos into Shabbos is permitted. Why is that not a problem of Shvisas Kelim, according to Beis Shammai? So the Gemara says, Hasam over there, Manach Ha'ara. There it's placed on the ground, and it's not considered a kli. If you look at Rashi, Ha'manach Gigon de Manachi Mugmar Begafres Ba'ara, the lo bekli. You're not using a kli. What happened was, maybe you dug a hole in the ground, and you placed the gafres, and you placed the Mugmar on the ground. There's no kelim to speak of. That's why it's permitted. The Gemara says, what about Gigas, Viner, Vikdera, Vishapit, all these other things we mentioned before, that if you let something use a kli and let it roast from before Shabbos, or let the beer soak in the vat from before Shabbos, all these examples, Mai Taima, Sharu, Beishame, Beishame, Prince, all these different cases, that although they are Kalim, he says they're allowed. So Gemara says there's another way Beishame would allow Shvisas Kalim, and that would be the mafkir lehu afkure. If you're mafkir the kalim, then it's permitted. Rashi says here, three narrow lines down, b'demafkir lehu lekalim v'shuv eina metzuva al shvisasam. You only have a requirement to make sure the kalim that you owned are resting. But if you don't own it, if you're mafkir, even Beishame would permit kalim to be used, because they're not your kalim. You have no obligation to make sure other people's animals are resting. Shvisas behema, only shvisas behemato, only your behema. So to kalim that you don't own, you don't have to watch. So if you're utilizing hefker kalim, even Beishame would permit the usage. You look at Tosas writes, a short Tosas, dear maskil, the mifkare lehu afkare, your mafkare, the afagav the aminim bin adarm, even though the Gemara in adarm daf mem hey teaches us. The ba'inan hefker b'fnei gimel, that you need to be mafker something in front of three people, in front of a bezdin, in order for it to take effect. Hacha lo ba'inan de mistama mafker lo. Here, you don't need three people, because mistama, it's understood, that person's mafker. Why is it understood? Because it's gemir's das, understood everyone wants to allow for you to use your kalim, and be mafker would be the way around it. So therefore, on Ansadi, we testify in certain instances that the hefker works. I mean, normally, the reason for hefker of three people is to make sure that you really mean to be mafker. We don't want you playing any games. But in situations where we're certain that you really want to be mafker and that your gemir das is there, then there is no need for a bezdin. And the Rashba has a slightly different understanding. Rashba says it's not because of anansadi. He says you need a bezdin because of lev bezdin masa lam shu hefker. That even though maybe the person doesn't have gemir das, bezdin is able to come in, step in, and create the gemir das in order for people to use their kalim and not having to violate the problem of shvisas kalim. Okay, back inside the Gemara now. We are three lines down on Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Man Tana, who is the author of the Brayso, the Tana, Man Tana Laha, the Tana Rabbanim. Lo, Timali Isha Kadera, Asasios, Visurmasin. A person should not fill a pot up of these items. Rashi points out that these items are types of beans that require a lot of cooking. And he goes on to say, the Brayso, V'taniach L'toch HaTanur, Erev Shabbos M'chashecha. A person should not place these items in an oven right before Shabbos begins. Vimnasan, if one does this, the Motzei Shabbos Asurin B'chadesh Yasu. If he does do this, he violated a problem of Bishul, and then would be, he would have to wait until after Motzei Shabbos to benefit from it, B'chadesh Yasu. B'chadesh Yasu is a din, if you look at Rashi, B'chadesh Yasu, K'desh Lo Yahanem Im Lecha Shabbos, so you don't get any hana from Lecha Shabbos. What that means is, we're going to learn later on, a din about, it's called Ma'isa Shabbos. Ma'isa Shabbos is a three-way machlokis in the Gemara. And machlokis had a paskin, that when a person does a Ma'isa Shabbos, a person violates a malacha on Shabbos, you can't get hana. The question is, the violator can't get hana, other people can't get hana, you can't get hana on Shabbos, maybe Ma'isa Shabbos you can, maybe you can never get hana. So there are different details and factors. But the Gemara just simply says here, if you want to get hana from this, even though you violated Shabbos, you have to wait after Shabbos, b'chdei shiasu. Chdei shiasu means, let's say it takes 45 minutes to make the food, so you need to wait 45 minutes after Shabbos to get hana. Because we don't want you to benefit from any action you did on Shabbos. So we say, okay, since you cooked it on Shabbos, so we don't want you to benefit, so wait 45 minutes after Shabbos, the amount of time that it takes to make it, and then you can get hana. This way you're not benefiting from anything done on Shabbos. That's the din. So then the Gemara says, Kayotibo, similarly, Lo Yimali Nachtam HaChavish Amayim, a baker shouldn't fill up a pitcher of water, V'yaniach L'toch HaTanur Erev Shabbos M'chashecha, and place it in the oven immediately before Shabbos, V'm'asakein, if he does this, L'motai Shabbos Asura B'chdei Shiasu. Here as well, he cannot benefit from it until after Shabbos, the amount of time it makes to boil the water. So these are two dinim that, again, you can't get the process done before Shabbos. So who holds this way? Who is the author of the Brayso? The Gemara wants to know. Lema Beishamahi v'lo Beishil. This must be Beishamai, because Beishamai is the one who's concerned with Shvisas Kalim. Beishil says Shvisas Kalim isn't a problem. Beishil says this should be completely permitted. As long as the process had begun before Shabbos, everything is completely permitted. And the Gemara says, not true. The Afilu Tema Beis Hillel. Even Beis Hillel would say this would be a problem. Gezeira Shem Yechata Begechalim. Here is a different instance that you might want to stoke the coal, says Rashi, Lemaher Bishulim, in order to hasten the cooking process. This becomes a violation of what's called Shehiya. We know in one of the Melachos of Shabbos is called Bishul. Now, Bishul is a violation of Midiraisa, and we'll get to many examples of Bishul, but there's also an institution, a Gezeira Midrabanan, that Shehiya. You can't let something sit from before Shabbos to cook, to continue to cook on Shabbos, and that if one does that, that would be a problem. And what's the reason why they said not to? Because Shema Yechata Gechalim, you might come to stoke the coals. If I'm putting up a chult for Friday night, I'm putting up water or tea or something, and I want to eat it from my Friday night Suda, I might want to raise the temperature so it cooks quicker so I can have it for the Suda. That's Asr Midin Shia because of Shema Yechata. Even Beis Hillel would say this would be Asr. Now, there are many details around how one could do Shia properly. We'll go through some of them in just a bit in the Gemara, but that's the Isser here, that it's an Isser of Shehiya. So the Gemara says, Yihachi, that's the case. Mugmar, the Gafras, Nami, Ligzar. So why did Beis Hillel allow you to let the Mugmar and Gafras to continue to burn from Shabbos, from before Shabbos, through Shabbos? Shouldn't that be concerned of Shema Yechati might come to stoke the coals and raise the temperature and have it burn quicker? The Gemara says, no. Hasam lo machte lo. There, a person is not going to mechate gechalim by mugmar v'gafras, because di machte, if one does this, salak bu kutcher, it's going to now generate smoke when you stoke the coals. The kashilu, and it's going to ruin the mugmar, it's going to ruin the gafras, therefore a person will not open it up, a person will not stoke the coals by the mugmar and the gafras. What about unin shel pishon nami ligzer? So what about having the flax soak in the water? Aren't we concerned that you might stoke the coals and raise the temperature? Why do we allow you to have that continue to cook on Shabbos? The Gemara says, because came in the kashlu zika, once you open up however the flax works, you open up and expose it to the air, expose it to the wind, it's going to ruin the flax, lo megalahu. No one's going to open up the coals to ruin it. So then the Gemara says, what about semer liyora, ligzer, having the wool soak in the vat of dye? Shouldn't we be concerned that you might stoke the coals to make the process move faster? Amar Shmuel says, B'yora akura, tell me yora akura, where the vat was already removed from the coals, there are no coals to speak of anymore. V'nicha shema magispa, maybe you're going to come to mix the vat and mix the dye, and that would be a problem of mixing the colors, which Tosu says it's a problem of soveo. Why is that not a concern? Bakura v'tocha. Akura means it was removed from the fire, so there's no Shem Yechata Gechalim anymore. And Tocha is where it's referring to, it was sealed on top, the cover was sealed, it's not easy to take off, and therefore there's no concern of you mixing it either. So that's the Gemara. So now the Gemara says, back to the question of Bishul, of leaving food from before Shabbos, of Shehiya, so Hashtud Amar Mar Gezeira Shem Yechata Gechalim. Now that we've established that stoking the coals is a problem of leaving food from before Shabbos, hay kedere chayasa shari lanuche erev Shabbos imchashechem. If you take a raw piece of meat and you just throw it into the pot right away, that would be allowed. Why? Because that's the case. Certainly, no one's going to. Rashi explains here, my time. Rather, the Gemara explains my time. What's the reason? Kevin de lachazi leursa asucha mesach daita minach v'lo asu lechtuye gecham. Since I put a raw piece of meat, I know with certainty the raw piece of meat won't be ready by my Friday night Suda. I'm leaving it for tomorrow Shabbos day Suda. So therefore, since it's Mesich Daito, I'm not going to be paying attention to it because it won't be ready by tonight. Therefore, I can leave it, I could drop it in a piece of my chulent, and no concern of Shem Yechata. So let's say you're making chulent, and you want to leave it Friday night through Shehiya, so and you don't want to violate Shehiya, and you shouldn't violate Shehiya. So if you drop in a raw piece of meat right before Shabbos, knowing it won't be ready until the next day, that would be one way you'd be allowed to leave food cooking from before Shabbos. So the Gemara then says, "Ubashel shapridami." If something was cooked entirely, was fully cooked, it's mevushel, it's called tarcha, says Rashi. Shapridami l'hanicha, that's also allowed, because since it's already fully cooked before Shabbos, there's no concern of Shem Yechata. There's no further cooking to do. So if something's fully cooked, that's also a way of leaving Shia, of allowing for Shia. Either it's completely raw, or it's completely cooked. Then the Gemara says, "Bashel v'labashel." If something is only partially cooked, that's where you're walking into the territory of danger. That there it's aser because now since it's partially cooked, you want to be ready for Friday night, there's a chashash Shem Yechata. And that's where it's aser. But the way around it is, v'isha debei garma chia shapridami. If you throw last minute a raw piece of meat, then the whole pot is considered not cooked, and you'd be allowed to leave that on as shehiya. Okay. So the Gemara now says, v'hashe d'amar mar, now that we've established that kol midi de kashil hu zika lo ma galilei, Anything that if you were exposure to the air ruins the item. Hai bisra de gadya visharik shaper dami. If you have a small piece of goat meat that cooks very quickly, and it's kasher lezika, but the exposure to air will ruin it, and it's sharik, and also the tanner, the oven, is sealed in a strong way. It's sealed with some type of mud or cement. So therefore, in these two instances, we have both factors where wind, exposure to wind will ruin it, and it's sealed shut in such a way, it's a tape shut. That's certainly allowed to be left from before Shabbos. Shehi is not a concern. But what about the barcha? You have some type of ox meat, or a big ram, Rashi says, where the exposure to the air won't ruin it, and velo sharik, and it's also not sealed, so that's aser. Because exposing it's easy, it's not sealed tight, and you don't care if it gets exposed to the air, so that's certainly aser to leave from before Shabbos. That would be a violation of Shia. But let's say you have one without the other. Let's say the gadya, you have some type of goat meat, and the exposure of the air will ruin it, velo sharik, but it's not sealed. Or the barcha, you have the ram meat, visharik, but it's sealed. You have one without the other. Either you have it sealed or you're using goat meat. One of those others, are those that going to be allowed for Shia, or you need both factors? You need the exposure of the air to be a concern, and plus you also need it to be sealed. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Shari, Rav Ashi permitted each of these cases, even though only one factor is relevant. Rav Yirmiyah Medifti, also he says, Aser. Now, Ulu Rav Ashi, the Shari, according to Rav Ashi, permitted one to leave Shehiyah as long as it either it's meat that gets ruined when exposed to the air, or it's sealed shut, according to Rav Ashi. V'hatani, doesn't the Braisa teach us, Ein Tzolin Basar, B'tzeil Beitza, El Kadesh Yitzilim Yibod Yom. So doesn't the Braisa clearly say that you can't roast meat or onions or eggs unless it's been fully roasted, cooked before a Shabbos? And we see that Basar is an example. So you have to make sure the Basar was called Tzarcha before Shabbos. And the Gemara says, no, that's, Bryce is referring to Hasam de Barcha Velo Shark. That's when we're talking about meat where if it's the ram is exposed to the air, it's not an issue, and also it's not sealed. That's why it's Aser. But if you have either kid or goat meat, or you have it sealed, then the Bryce would agree it's permitted to leave it from before Shabbos, even though it wasn't fully cooked. Ikadami, there was a different version. The Gadia, if you're referring to goat meat, Bain Shark, Bain Lel Shark, Shapir Dami, that whether it was sealed shut or not sealed shut, it's permitted. The Baruch Hanami, if it was referring to ram meat, where it's visharik and it's sealed, that's also shaper dami. Ki pligi, when is there machlok as the Baruch of lo sharik? When you have the ram meat, and plus it wasn't sealed shut, that's where there's a machlokas. The Rav Ashi Shari, he permitted you nonetheless. Rav Yirmiyah Medifti Aser, he says it's Aser. So the Rav Ashi, the Shari, now Rav Ashi permitted it. He wasn't concerned, even when it came to the ram meat, even though it wasn't sealed. The Hatanya, doesn't the Braisa say, Ein Tzolin Basar B'tzeil Beitza El Kadesh Yitzilim Yibod Yom? But doesn't the Braisa say unequivocally that there's a case of meat that can't be cooked before Shabbos, you can't place it in unless it's fully cooked? And according to Rashi, Rashi says, there's never concern of Shia. So he says, whether the meat's a barcha, whether the meat's a gedi, it's all permitted. So what's the instance where the Braisa says that the meat is also to leave before Shabbos unless it's fully cooked? And so the Gemara says, Hasama bimbisra agumri. What's bisra agumri? So Rashi says, bimbisra agumri, she'enu b'taner, it's not in the oven, da'afilu kisri leka, umuchan lahapoch bol v'lachtos, where there's no cover at all. I mean, Rav Ashi says it's only permitted when there's a cover. He doesn't require you to seal the cover, to have it close shut with tit, but he says it has to have a cover. But if there's no cover at all, then even Rav Ashi would agree it's usher to roast the meat. So the Gemara says, Amar Ravina. Ravina says, Hai kra chia shaper dami. When it comes to a raw piece of a gourd which is raw, that's also allowed. If you drop it in a chulim pot or whatever you're cooking, that's also allowed. It's not a problem of shia. The kaven de kasher lezika kibisa de gadya dami. Since the exposure to the air, to the oxygen, it will ruin it, that too will be similar to goat meat, and therefore that would be permitted to leave from before Shabbos. Okay, let's go right to now. The Gemara says the last 10 lines or so of the daf. The Gemara says that the Gemara says Tani Rabbanan Deishami Omrim Ein Mokun. I see, is people not hearing me? Am I getting a text that people can't hear me? Oh, I don't know. See, I'm just continuing. Tell me if you don't hear me afterwards. The Gemara says Beishami Omrim Ein Mokun. A person should not sell items or give items to a goy unless he could, Beis Shammai says, unless he gets to the location, to a house before Shabbos, Beis Hillel says, as long as he leaves your house on Shabbos, it's fine. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Tanu Rabbanan, Beis Shammai omrim, lo yimchor adam cheftzo lenachri, a person should not sell an object to a goy, v'lo yashilenu, he shouldn't lend it to him, v'lo yalvenu, yalvenu, he shouldn't lend it either. The difference between a she'ela and a halva, a she'ela is that you lend the object that you'll get back in return, and halva is you give an object and he returns a different object in place of the one you gave him. So a person shouldn't sell an object to a goy, he shouldn't lend something to a goy, v'lo yitein lo b'matana, he shouldn't give a gift to a goy, ella kadesh yagila beis, unless the goy could get to his house before Shabbos begins. Beis Hillel, Omer Beis Hillel says, kadesh yagila beis hasamech l'choma, Beis Hillel says, until he gets to the house next to the wall, but not to his own house, but just to the entrance to the city of his city where he lives, but not to his actual house. And according to Beis according to Rabbi Kiva, Omer Kadesh Yatsumi Pesach Beis, as long as he leaves your house and doesn't have to get to his city yet. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Hein Hein Divrei Rabbi Kiva, Hein Hein Divrei Beis Hillel. Aren't they saying the same thing? That Rabbi Kiva, look at Rashi. Rashi says, the last Rashi in the Omer here, Hein Hein Divrei V'chulu, Lo Ba Rabbi Kiva Lachloka Beis Hillel. Rabbi Kiva, who says Yatsumi Beis Mi Pesach Beis Hillel, is not coming to argue in Beis Hillel. El lachlok al tana ben machlokaso shemar liba de beis hillel the beis hasamach lechoma. Ubar Akiva lomar lo amar beis hillel chen el v'chulu. Rabbi Akiva is not arguing. Rabbi Akiva is trying to say what he heard Beis Hillel said. In other words, there's a machlok as what Beis Hillel shita was. Was Beis Hillel shita shiagiu le beis hasamach lechoma to get to the house, the wall of the city of the nachri, or to leave your house? So the Gemara says that. Loba again. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Hein Hein Divrei Rabbi Kiva, Hein Hein Divrei Beis Hillel. Loba Rabbi Kiva, Ela Lefarish Divrei Beis Hillel. Rabbi Kiva is not coming to argue in Beis Hillel. He's coming to explain what he heard Beis Hillel had said. Okay, let's finish the daf and go on to the next top two lines of the next daf. The Gemara says, Tanur Abanan Beis Shammai Omer Milo Yimchor Adam Chemso Lenachri. A person should not sell an object chametz. A person should not sell chametz to a nachri. Elim ken yodeyabo sheyichle kodim pesach divrei Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says not only do you have to get rid of your own chametz, but you have to make sure the chametz is taken care of. It's completely eaten by the nachri as well. That's a responsibility a Jew has, to make sure the chametz is completely wiped out, completely eaten. That's a big, big chumrah. But Beis Hillel omrim, no, kol zman shemotel ochle, motel ochle. As long as you could eat it, you'll have to sell it. So as long as you sold it, got it out of your possession, out of your ownership, who cares what the goy does? A goy could have chametz, it's not your achrayus. And therefore, as long as you could eat it, you could certainly sell it. That's the understanding of Beis Hillel. But Yehuda omrim, Yehuda says that kuta chabavli, which is a type of food made of bread and milk, the komiyet kutach, any other form, any other type of derivative of kutach, asa limchor, you can't sell, shloshim yom kodem pesach, you can't sell 30 days before him. The reason is because from 30 days at the beginning, Rashi says, mishmaschilim lidrosh behilchos pesach, chala azharis pesach alav. From 30 days prior to Pesach, there's already an obligation, and therefore once there's an obligation of being concerned of chametz and Pesach, you cannot sell or give an object that's going to last for a long time. Kutach lasts for a long time. So when it comes to something that's eaten quickly, perishable, such as bread, that you could sell a week beforehand because they're going to finish in a couple days. But that which lasts for a long time, already from 30 days before, and there seems to be a certain chalos chiv of making sure that the chametz that you own within 30 days, you've gotten rid of it. But if it's 31 days beforehand or so on, there is no chiv of a Pesach yet, and you could get rid of the kutach all whenever you want. Okay, we'll stop here, and Mitzvah Hashem will continue tomorrow.